Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cowboys news of the daytime as we open up hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. It is a big day for the Cowboys and The Fan as a former Cowboys scout Brian Broaddus joins the G-Bag Nation on a permanent basis starting Monday. The big announcement came down at 1:40 this afternoon with the crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece, and Mike Bassick is heading back to middays where his wife would prefer him to be.
Yes, it will help out a whole bunch. I'm excited to work with Kevin and Corey, but I'm going to miss Gavin and Jeff and Lucius. Gavin and Lucius,
yeah,
particularly.
There you go.
you know. So, yeah, it's exciting, but also, you know, I am a little bit sad. I'm not going to just say I'm not sad at all. I am a little bit sad. We've done this for it feels like a long time now.
And yeah, how long has it been? Like 6 years?
We're kind
years?
Of for the mm-hmm. first time,
six
right?
And a half.
In the, you know, being honest here, in the last year or so, having real success.
Yeah.
Getting bonuses because we're having success.
You get bonuses?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Mike.
Okay.
That's really
See, that's why I've never liked you. That's why I've been pushing resentment. For this move.
You got to be a former professional athlete to get those,
oh,
I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
So quite a few takeaways here in the Cowboys news of the day to get to as... The first article we'll talk about is from John Williams, Inside the Star. I can't help but call him John Hot Rod Williams in my mind whenever I see his name, but it's not the same guy, the former Cleveland Cavalier forward.
He actually played here for the Mavericks for just a second.
Okay, and Dallas Maverick. Yeah, John Hot Rod Williams.
Yeah.
Like maybe one of the original stretch fours, you know?
Yeah,
he
kind of.
He could take that thing out there.
Yeah.
He had that old school jumper where he put both hands over the head. It's like, whoa, what are you doing?
I believe you.
Try workouts over there? What's going on?
Good news is next week, I'm sure Broaddus will get whatever reference this John Hot Rod Williams is too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right in Broaddus's wheelhouse.
With Brad Doherty and Craig Elo and Ron Harper and Mark Price.
I remember Elo because I thought it was a funny last name.
Yeah.
And Jordan made a shot on him, right?
Yep.
And almost punched him in the face.
Elo was a quality player, though.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
You don't get to retain that if somebody hits an iconic shot on you. That,
it's over.
Yeah, it goes away. All you are is the guy who got scored on.
Pretty much. Well, John Hot Rod Williams did a deep dive on the 2020 salary cap situation. The first takeaway, the Cowboys do have a decision to make on Tyrone Crawford. We talked about that with Mike Fisher last hour. The particulars are they could save $8 million bucks by releasing him and take just a $1 million hit. And you can talk about the numbers with a guy like Tyrone Crawford if you'd like. He's a veteran. It comes down to the business of sports with all your players. But it's really what's between his ears and in his rib cage that this team needs and missed, I think, in a big way. You talk about what went wrong with this defense. The run defense sucked. Well, guess what? A 290-pound defensive lineman who can play both end and tackle could have helped fix that. You had to play Tristan Hill because Tyrone Crawford was hurt. And I think you don't have enough good defensive linemen right now to be all that picky. So I don't know if he would want to take a pay cut or you just do a straight restructure where you convert his salary into his. I don't know what it takes logistically, but if it makes sense at all. Now, Tyrone might be good enough that the free agent market will be really interesting for him, but I don't feel like he even wants to do that. I think he wants to stay with the Cowboys. The Cowboys want him to stay, so... Hopefully they can get something figured out to make sure that happens. Jeff.
I bet he's a really strong candidate for the, hey, Tyrone, we're not going to make a big deal out of this, but obviously you didn't play for us last year and you've made a lot of money. We need some of that back.
Yeah, maybe.
And he'll be like, okay, how much? Okay, cool. Let's play football. I'll play football for $5 or $6 million. You'll save a couple. Let's go.
And as long as the agent's not like, this team's going to give us 3 and 30 over here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how teams look at the bigger guys at 30 and 31 years old. Another takeaway, though, is just how awesome of a job the Cowboys are doing at managing the cap. I talked about it for years.
You're trying to get them to throw all this away, too.
Maybe.
You're
yes.
a jerk.
They're one of a few teams to have under $2 million in dead money. And dead money's dangerous, you know, when you pay players now and then say, oh, it'll count against the cap later. Here's all of your money now. We'll just have half of it count against the cap next year so we can get under the salary cap. Well, what ends up happening is players know I don't have to play hard this year. There's nothing they can do. In 2 years, I'm a massive cap hit. I'm uncuttable. And it really... it sabotages the motivation, right? Who talked about you need fear in your locker room? Was that Michael Irvin or it was
Mike
somebody?
Pasek.
Yeah. Well, somebody talked about how you need fear in the locker room. And one of the biggest fears in sports is if I don't play well, my career is going to end. And when you backload deals and have a bunch of dead money on your cap, you're hosing yourself because you're inviting a bunch of players to feel like that. Now, they aren't going to feel like that, but some of them are. And those, by the way, are going to be your most highly paid, highest achieving players. And if a couple of them decide to check out and not have a good offseason because there's literally no financial motivation for them, then you're eating away at the general motivation of your team.
And then you have a bunch of hosers on your team, and you're not going to win with a bunch of hosers.
Absolutely not.
Hosers.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a Canadian term.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, a Tyrone Crawford reference. I like that.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean for just him. I just like people that aren't good at their whatever job they do.
Burgers.
Kind of like called a hoser.
Burgers and hosers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I've heard that term before.
Of course.
Like a bunch of hosers. Is that from like that hockey movie?
No, it's from Strange Brew. Okay. 1983. Rick Moranis.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
They got caught in a beer silo and they couldn't get out, so they had to drink their way out. Uh-huh. And when they got out, there was a fire nearby.
Uh-huh.
So they just used their copious amounts of urine that were there from drinking themselves out of a beer silo.
That was a movie?
To put out the fire. Yeah.
Like a real one?
Strange Brew, hoser.
What was the runtime on that?
Bob and Doug McKenzie get jobs at the Elsinore Brewery. I highly recommend everybody go back and check that out from 1983.
I think I am too.
It's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah. It was hilarious. I don't know. I saw it when I was a kid. I remember thinking it was one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's why you started drinking, just in case.
They sure made drinking look fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes you a superhero if there's a fire.
Yeah. You're not looking to cause any trouble. You're just going to cruise around and make your way through life cracking a cold beer nonstop. They made it look really awesome. And you got to be a hero as well. Save the day. But, yeah, great job by the Cowboys to get rid of their dead money. They now have under $2 million of it. And it's now put them back at ground zero where they could go on a crazy shopping spree. They could free up so much cap space, they could keep all of their players. Name one. They could keep them. If you restructure, now basically what you would do.
You just talked about how great they're doing.
I know, but you have an opportunity here. The championship window is closing if you don't do some of this at least. You got to restructure with Tank. You got to restructure with Zach. Restructure with Tyron. Maybe you would want to restructure with Lyle Collins. He's young enough, has enough years left on his deal that maybe it wouldn't be that bad.
You really want to restructure Tank?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't want to restructure with Tyron or Zach either.
Okay.
But if you did say, hey, we need to get this championship, that would take your cap space from $77 million to $110 million. And I'm not even talking Tyrone Crawford there. You could be at $128. If you restructured with Zeke and Jalen, you could be at plus 130, plus 135.
I would love to see what their cap looks like in 2023.
Yeah.
If you do all that. Like, well, all right, Tank's cap hit is $39 million and Tyron's is $24 and it'd be absurd.
I could actually be talked into it if they had just won the championship. If it was like, hey, you're going to have to break up your team, or you could do all of these moves and bring everybody back. Then you would have had enough success to justify it. This is a championship team. We're going back to back. If we get into cap hell in 2025, that's fine. We'll have two rings.
See, I might go more the Mark Cuban route, where if they won a championship, I would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's not sacrifice the future for anything now. We already won.
We ain't done yet.
Let's just be super responsible here, and we'll just make our way. And
then not win another playoff series for 9 years?
Yeah.
At least they won a couple of playoff games.
Cuban was bad at it, though.
Okay. I mean,
I'd be better at it.
Well, I say all that to say this. Pro Football Focus has a piece out. You might have seen it earlier on Twitter. The luckiest and unluckiest teams of 2019.
I know the unlucky one.
The unluckiest team, the single most unlucky team in the NFL, they say is the Dallas Cowboys.
I know.
Should have had between 10.5 and 11 wins.
I know. But you know what happens when you say that out loud? People get really mad at you.
Well, yeah.
They're not good enough. They suck. They're 8-8, and that's what you are.
One of them's in this room.
Two of them sometimes.
I go there on you?
Sometimes.
All right.
I feel like sometimes you guys get real mean to me when I say they should have been
sometimes
better.
Sometimes you deserve it.
Yeah, it's just because you're like the super enthusiast that thinks everything's going to be great when you just can't see. It's going really wrong right now.
I don't think the Rangers are going
to
do great.
The only way to do something good about that positive is to take your money and just keep making you bet on the Cowboys.
I made money on that one time, didn't I? That was against Gavin.
Yeah.
We got a crazy Washington bet out of him.
Yeah, it wasn't my best year in the wagering department. But yeah, Pro Football Focus says they're the unluckiest team. So if you really believe that team is good and can accomplish something, I would say go for it. But I don't know. I think when it comes to using the credit card to buy teams, I need like a guarantee return on that, right?
You're not going
to
get that.
No.
You're not going to get that because you still won't have a better quarterback than the best teams and you still won't have a better roster than the best team. So you're going to have to be well coached. You're going to have to play well.
Okay, we have Astros cheating reactions. One of the greatest Rangers of all time and a player that Jeff's obsessed with in stocks.
I am not. I only text him sometimes.
He's reacted. And one of the formerly fattest Rangers on the team has weighed in on the topic as well. Astros cheating reactions next on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. What is your reaction to the Astros cheating stories of the day? I guess we should throw in the Red Sox as well. Their day is coming. I guess it's best to be first when you get in trouble with something like this. You know, it's like kind of like being a kid. You can have an older brother to get in trouble for drinking before you. You know, kind of makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I was the first one to get in trouble for drinking, but he got in trouble for lots of other stuff, so my drinking seemed very minor.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Congratulations Thank on you. That. Okay, yeah, we have a Michael Young reaction. There's a Ranger that's reacted. What do you guys think? Text in, tweet in. Segments brought to you by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more Fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. We'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, here we're going to start with this guy right here, June Calhoun. That, in my tease, was the formerly fattest Ranger on the team. He, of course, looks great. He took his fitness seriously last offseason, and his career took off as a result. So salute to June Calhoun. He tweeted after watching the Astros failed apology thing.
Fake apology thing.
Let us know what pitches are coming, and let's just see how much it, quote, doesn't impact the game. A reference to Jim Crane, who said it didn't impact the game, and then 55 seconds later said, no, I didn't say that, guys. Come on, let's get real.
I would say this. The only defense I have for Jim Crane is if I told my 15-year-old daughter, who, you know, doesn't really watch baseball or know much, if I said, hey, the Astros are in trouble because they had somebody from the dugout like kind of telling them what pitch was coming. And I think a legitimate question from my daughter would be, does that matter to the hitter? Like, if you've never hit, like, does that matter?
It's still coming fast.
Jim Crane might be stupid enough to not really know anything about the sport that he owns a team in. He might be like, I have no clue. He's like, I don't know if it helps at all, except it helps tremendously, a whole bunch. One of my doubles in the major leagues was because I knew what was coming.
I think I can relate this to common man who never played baseball. So I was kind of ahead of people athletically up until the rest of the world started catching up. Like in high school, I got to go early with my athleticism. So like baseball was the easiest sport ever. Through eighth grade, seventh grade, maybe into eighth grade. I was a baller. Then people learned to throw changeups and curveballs, and I couldn't hit anymore.
Oh no!
And that was the end of the road. When every pitch is the same and you know what it's going to be, baseball is not that hard.
And you're quick.
When you have no idea what they're going to throw, it gets really hard.
How great would it be, and I know this would never happen, if they're like, okay, to stop the bean balls from happening, because my dad has weighed in, he's like, for Bregman and Altuve, who are the leaders of this crap apology thing, he would throw at their hands the whole time, and until he broke their hands, he would just keep throwing at them until he broke their hands.
Okay, you old school baseball guys are kind of sick. I just want to get that out there. You guys are kind of sick.
And then he would just say,
they are usually, but in this case, this is what's necessary. We need to go old school on these
guys.
And
then the scouting, my dad said, you know, the scouting report said, you can't leave anything out over the plate on them. I have to throw it inside. What do you want me to do? Tell them what's coming? And so, so that would be that. I would say this. What if the Houston Astros had to tell each hitter what's coming?
I like that punishment. Yeah.
You know, like how when you're warming up, you show him fastball, curveball, whatever to the catcher so he knows what you're throwing. Like, hey, you just have to do that for the whole game. No signs for the Astros. You just have to give the signal what's coming. Let's see, Jim Crane, if it didn't help you guys have to go all season with your pitchers telling every hitter what you're throwing.
Yeah, I would say our best hope is that the pitchers are throwing at the hitters. I think that's our best hope. Yeah. And that, you know, every night, you know, we're getting highlights of, you know, stare downs. What would the Astros do? Eventually you're going to fight about it, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, and it's very clear based on the activity, not only on our Autoflix Leasing Fantex, but on Twitter. The people in Houston have already constructed their media bubble. The reporters, the analysts are talking about it like it's not that bad.
Well, they kind of are going.
The fans are listening to that.
It seems like Astro fans that I'm seeing, their defense is everybody's doing
yeah.
that. And like that's kind of the end of it. And one guy on social media is like, Altuve's just saying what he was supposed to say. And well, Carlos Correa was really open and honest. And like, I don't want my like friends, family, dad, kids to think that this was okay or that this is how you should do things. And like, they're all apologizing. But Altuve is like, just read what the report says. I don't want to tell you if I did or didn't do it. Like, come on. You have to just be shielding yourself in willful ignorance of I love my team. There is no other way to view it and be like, you know what? I think they're okay.
I think it's hard when the media covering those teams is also giving them a massage.
Are they really?
Because the media.
John Heyman came on MLB Network today and ruined the whole show.
Oh.
Because Harold Reynolds and I'm forgetting the guy he works with on Hot Stove in the Morning were crushing the Astros. They were doing a great job of going into the clubhouse, pulling the audio, then talking about it and how horrible it's going for the Astros. And then John Heyman, because he has to cover all the teams and interview players and agents. Well, the Astros didn't do a great job of apologizing, but they did apologize. And you could see Harold Reynolds going, can you get this guy off our show if this is what he's going to come on with? But he... For John Heyman, he's like, I can't bash him too much because I have to go cover the Houston Astros at some point, and I want them to tell me how they're doing and everything.
Yeah, that's the problem of access, and all sports teams do it. The people that get the access, you get a little bit more special information, and if you say stuff that we don't like, we're going to start testing you with text messages or calls like, hey, we didn't like the way you said that, and see how you respond. If you double down the next time, now your information gets even more and more lean. And now you might be an opinion guy like Skip Bayless, but you're not going to be an actual reporter.
Right.
And the majority of the people doing local television have to be the reporter and get that information. So they're going to the Astros and covering this. They need quotes all year. They need the front office to like them. So that's where Houston people are getting their cues on how to think about this story. Right. And if they're digesting that content all day long and then they tune into us because maybe they're in DFW, they're looking at Houston Twitter all day long. Now
Haters.
They're tuning into us. They're like, oh, that's not even real. You got to be kidding me. You know what Altuve did was fine. You're living in an alternate reality shaped by people who are on the take in your media. It's not a, here's money for protecting us. It's you're going to get a cold shoulder if you start talking about things in the way that we don't like.
That is the worst part about the world right now is we all live in an alternate reality because
yes.
we all shape exactly what we want to be what we get.
Sure.
And
yeah.
we don't get anything else.
Yes, we all just do it in slightly different ways. Okay, what else is here in the form of player reaction to what's been said? Michael Young regarding that Jim Crane quote.
Oh, I like that guy.
Our opinion is this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series. We'll leave it at that. Quote, Mikey says, right. They did it because trash can acoustics are good for your soul. Yes, they had a good team, but of course it impacted the game. If it didn't impact the game, why continue it? Don't play the public for fools. Just apologize, be accountable, and move forward. Yeah, I think if they had been more serious or more smart about this, they would have thought it out, maybe even did a couple of trials internally and then thought, dude, if we can't do any better than that, we should not say anything. Like that was to me the biggest mistake. Like crisis management, sometimes if you can't have the perfect words, and that's why they put it out in statements quite often, printed statements. If you can't have the perfect words, they should have just been quiet today. Mm.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that from doing sports radio for, I don't know how long I've been here, a decade. Give or take.
Yeah.
You get to meet a lot of people that are in different cities and have relationships with different people. And in talking about the Astros, the reason that their message is messed up is because a lot of different people around the country that have access to other baseball teams say that organization at the very top, not at the manager and not necessarily at the players or the coaches, but at the very top, are trash human beings.
Oh, really?
Like the Taubman guy that was like, I love domestic violence, or whatever he exactly said after they won a game. Like, to a lot of people, it was not surprising that he would do something like that. And it's not surprising that Jim Crane would have no clue, and that they would have no clue about PR, because there are people around the baseball world that look at that organization at the very top and go, you don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I wouldn't be too surprised. I do sometimes wonder if Nolan Ryan's going to have any statement on this, or do you go to him and ask?
How do you play this? He had to know. I'm not saying that he was for it or against it. I don't know. He had to know. I know that he wasn't the general manager or running things or picking players or anything, but where he sat at, probably the relationship that he had with players, coaching staff, he had to have an idea that they were doing something like this.
You know, unless he was super absentee, you know.
Then his son would know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we could try to give Nolan Ryan the benefit of the doubt with our own bias, right? Catering our own reality.
Guarantee you Nolan didn't know.
Okay.
Because Nolan would never do anything like that. He's a sweet man. That's where Astro fans are right now with their whole organization. I like Nolan. Yeah. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, maybe so. But I mean,
they gave a full presentation to the front office.
I wonder knew this was going down, and he was like, I'm getting out of here.
Ooh, that's a good theory, Mike.
And Reed was like, I'm getting out of here too.
The timing was very interesting on that. Like, hey, maybe
is that why Reed got demoted? He was like, hey, can we stop cheating? And they're like, you're demoted. They were like, all right, we're out.
Get with the program. We need to bring code breakers back.
Yeah, here's David Robertson, who pitched in game six for the Yankees. And he said, I got roughed up in game six and felt like that was a game I threw as well as I've ever thrown in my entire life. I had some pitches that got hit, and I was a little shocked by that. And some pitches that didn't get swung at that I was a little shocked by. At the time, I wasn't thinking about what we know now, but it all comes together now. And, you know, I'm upset about it for sure. Like I said, I'm still upset about it. I don't want to say something I'm going to regret, but I'm definitely not happy about it. He's pitching right now for the Phillies. But, I mean, he gave up four runs and didn't get anybody out in game six.
Brutal.
And he's saying, man, I don't know how, because I wasn't – it was like – I think he's being honest here, as in, like, if you throw the ball crappy, you throw the ball crap. You're like, maybe they were cheating, but man, I was making some bad pitches. He's like, man, I thought I was making some good pitches. They were laying off of my good pitches, and then the ones that were hittable, they were crushing, like, no problem. And so,
yeah, you're second guessing yourself, your insecurities, your confidence. Yeah. It's all becoming a big part of it, and it's just unfair what they've done. Dan Orlovsky tweeting, hey, my 8-year-old could have done a better job apologizing and taking ownership. And they eat their boogers. Oh, my 8-year-olds. He must have twins. Grow up, hashtag Astros cheat.
You could say, like, if they would have said something like this, which isn't an apology, if they could have said, hey, just to be honest, we thought most of the teams that we were playing against were doing it. And that's what we thought. We were wrong. Obviously, the commissioner has come out and said they've looked into all the other organizations and cannot find that anybody was doing anything similar to this. We were wrong. And the reason we took it so far is because in our locker room, we thought we were paranoid that other teams were doing it against us. So we wanted to do it the best out of all the teams that were cheating. And I'd be like,
yeah,
all right, that makes sense. I mean, it's still not right, but at least it makes sense. At least this sounds like a real answer.
Yeah, that could be a really good answer. I wonder how the lawsuits and the lawyers would look at that. You know, today had a really strong feeling that those guys had been instructed on maybe how to look at it. And if you don't have great experience sort of tiptoeing that line, you know, your nerves go up, you're second guessing every word that's coming out of your mouth, and the next thing you know, you're Jim Crane saying it didn't have an impact, and then 50 seconds later saying you didn't say it didn't have an impact.
You know, and I know this sounds stupid, and I know it would never work. I almost feel like Major League Baseball fans should put together a lawsuit for $1 billion against Major League Baseball to say the fraud of Major League Baseball in 2017 and possibly in 2018, we deserve our money back.
Yeah, I think the only way you get change is if you stop watching, you know? And baseball fans did have a backbone when the World Series went away. They right. stopped watching for a while. It was the home run thing that brought them back, what was that, 3 years later, yeah. 4 years later? Mm-hmm. So maybe Major League Baseball will feel the pain on this in the form of TV ratings and attendance. And I can only hope so. You know, hopefully this commissioner's run ends poorly in shame. And they make the next commissioner actually try to govern the sport with fairness for all involved, not protecting your investment or protecting the players from the public thinking they're cheaters, but just what we used to, you know. And hey, maybe they know. I was thinking about this earlier. Maybe they know the death penalty to SMU was too much. You know, the Chicago Black Sox scandal, while the public was satisfied, they would have still kept watching sports if we hadn't done that. And that cost us more in the long run. Okay. I think they might be looking at the Patriots thing right now and going, say, look, they're going to complain about this for the next two decades, but they're not going to stop watching the sport. Okay. So we don't have to punish our partners. We don't have to punish our players who are superstars in this game that make us money. And it would suck if that's the case, but I feel like based on what we're watching, it is.
I never thought last night when I heard that the Houston Astros were holding their press conference tomorrow morning, I was not mad at the Houston Astros. I was like, I get it. Like, and my buddy AJ Hinch is the manager. So, I mean, I've talked to him since the interview and just kind of like, I'm rooting for him. He's my buddy. And so it could be hypocritical of me to be this tough on the Astros when I'm rooting for the manager of the team to go get a job again and be successful in Major League Baseball. But after what happened this morning with Alex Bregman and Altuve, the main leaders of the crap that I watched this morning is just really made me mad.
The way they answered it makes you feel like 2019 is more of a sure thing than it did happen with the buzzers. You know, that's the thing, along with AJ Hinch's non-denial. If something like that is coming, it is very easy to say no to it. That story's been out for 3 weeks. It has not been debunked. So, you know, today actually made people more convinced that 2019 cheating happened. We're ready to get over the 2017 cheating. They've kind of been held accountable for it, but now you add another layer to it. Around the NFL is coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. All righty. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll take a look at some of the biggest stories in the world of sports that have been developing throughout the broadcast day. But right now, it's time to go around the NFL, and it's brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Matthew Stafford trade rumor in Detroit's what I woke up to. I saw Sean Sharif tweeting about it, heard him talking about it on our Sean and RJ morning show. Their GM, Bob Quinn, quickly came out and denied. And I do think the Lions would be crazy to trade him, but maybe they will. You know, maybe they like Tua T at three, and maybe that's going to make some sense for them. I know they're at three, but I just don't know that if for the Cowboys there's any kind of fit at all. I know some people were out there discussing, and it's interesting to you know, have the discussion who's better, who would you rather have for one game. But it's a non-story as far as the Cowboys go to me, because Stafford wouldn't save you money. The trade couldn't help you find a younger quarterback with a higher ceiling. And I think Stafford and Dak are, you know, about as good as each other. And, you know, Stafford's like 10 years older than Dak. So, you know, I'm not too big of a...
He could save you money, though.
Oh, really?
Matt Stafford's deal is $27 million a year. Don't we anticipate Dax is going to come in somewhere around $10 million more than that?
Yeah, but saving $10 million for a couple of years wouldn't be worth the extra years of having the player to me in that evaluation. Okay. I appreciate the heads up, though. It's good information to have available. I did see Stafford's wife posted on her Instagram. I don't think she was disappointed to see the trade rumors.
Are you saying if she's a Dallas girl, are you saying she doesn't like living in Detroit?
Is she a Dallas girl?
I have honestly no clue. She might be from Georgia since he went to college there. Might be from Detroit. I don't know.
Okay, because she tweeted a screenshot of stories talking about him maybe going to the L.A. Chargers. And she said, well, if Detroit is done with us, I could stay in California. Apparently the Chargers would be the top team that would be interested. Their other quarterback would be Tyrod Taylor. But yeah, Mike, either Texas or California. You know, both better than really freezing your nads off.
Man, yeah. You can't just have your wife out there taking shots at your city all the time, can you?
Well, she was under the impression they were done with you. You know, she was under the impression that they were moving on. Dear, maybe you should give her a little media coaching as far as how the trade rumors can go.
We got to vet these things, honey. Let me call the GM real quick before you fire off on Instagram. You know how the world's going to deal with this stuff.
Or maybe if you do want out, you know, you're thinking, I only got a few more years in this arm. Let's see if I could actually go win a Super Bowl somewhere where the organization's not a complete failure.
Honey, check this out. There's a stupid rumor. There's zero chance it's true, but can I borrow your Instagram account? Let me just send this message out.
Hey.
We can't get out of here.
Yeah, now you're working the game.
Now we're cooking.
Okay.
Sounds a little Kevin Durant-ish.
Well, no, he would be on his own other account. Yeah.
Well, he's not married, right? So he can't use a wife's account.
Yeah, it's tough. He said he's still rocking the burner accounts, by the way. You guys see that story?
No.
Yeah, like last week. He's like, yeah, I still got them. He's like, but, you know, I try not to use them in the wrong way.
Okay. Like
sometimes you got to use them to respond to people.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I still got them.
Well, you know, sometimes you just want to be on there to observe and report, you know, and Kevin just
Durant's a guy who shouldn't have press conferences either. He is awesome to watch at basketball, but he is not that great when he has a mic in front of him and the things that he says, because most of it sounds like BS.
He still made it sound like it was normal. He was like, well, yeah, because sometimes there's people you have to respond to. You don't want to do it from your account.
That's awesome. I do like the new KD that's coming out guns blazing a little bit more, because in the past he's kind of hemmed and hawed,
okay,
and I don't want to hurt
that.
Your feelings. And now he's like, dude, I will hurt your feelings. Check this out.
Yeah.
Don't you know who I am? Watch me play basketball. I like that, KD.
He just wanted to go to Golden State. I saw this like a week or two ago. I just wanted to go to Golden State because, you know, they had good shooters.
Yeah.
And we didn't have good shooters in Oklahoma City.
That's a great point.
You need shooters, got to have four spacers.
Got to be able to shoot.
Had nothing to do with 73-9 and the automatic championship.
Well, the good shooters, yeah, they made a lot. They made a lot of shots.
Just random. It was just random. He's like, gosh, I don't know if Golden State's any good at basketball, but boy, they sure have some good shooters.
I want to take on the challenge of leading this group of men to a title. See if I can pull it off.
Back-to-back finals MVP.
Attaboy.
Mission accomplished. Here's Jeff with second down.
Does Steph have zero finals MVPs?
He might have one.
No, I think
Iggy,
they win four
KD,
titles.
KD.
That's it, right?
That's
they
it.
Won three. They went
three.
To five, right? Lost two.
Yeah, Iguodala got the first one.
It's no finals MVPs. Oh, okay. So I got the Shine 9 for you. You guys,
oh, Adam
you guys
Shine.
Know, yeah, you guys know the Shine. Got the Shine 9. Shine 9 today is the nine guys who must be re-signed by their current team. Do not let these guys hit free agency. At number one, Dak Prescott, quarterback, Dallas Cowboys. He says the Cowboys need to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal right now. Forget the debate about whether Dak is, quote, elite or top 10 or better than Carson Wentz. Dak Prescott is the Cowboys franchise quarterback. He's been a really good to great player who should be consistently excellent under the watchful eye of offensive guru and Super Bowl winning coach Mike McCarthy. And you want Dak with McCarthy in his famous quarterback school in the offseason. I don't want to hear about franchise tags or July 15th deadlines. The Cowboys currently have over $77 million in cap. What's the holdup? It needs to happen now.
When do you think we're going to get this? I'm surprised we haven't got this yet, as we're now in mid-February. We usually get numbers. We usually, remember the Zeke Elliott thing? Like, we started getting numbers. This is what Zeke's team want. Like, and we knew exactly what he wanted, years and numbers and guaranteed. And the Cowboys were, we can't do that. We got to be more around this number. We don't really hear, we're all making speculations, but we're not getting really like from reporters.
Well, we had the one last week that he had turned down 33 in September, right?
How many years?
Okay, then we had a separate report that they were pushing for a sixth year.
Okay.
Yeah, but there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they hold that until you get into, like, holdouts. Is that summer ammunition?
If they start thinking that a deal's not going to get done, the front office will leak to reporters
that Dak has
turned down a monster deal. That's what'll happen. But maybe right now they're getting along just fine and they're working on it. But if they hit a snag, you will get a report. Dak turned down 36 a year. And then Dak's agent's going to be like, right, that 36 a year was for 40 years. They wanted us for the rest of our lives.
1 year guaranteed.
It was 1 year guaranteed, but the team will say turn down a massive contract.
Yeah, we haven't got to that point yet. Let's get to that point, because then things start moving a little bit more.
Other guys that the Shine 9 says don't let him hit free agency. He's wrong on this one. Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans.
So lock him up.
Throw away a bunch of
your identity right there, Jeff.
That's true.
Where would they have been without him this year?
What did they finish? 9-7
Yeah.
9-7 I think they'd
have
been 9-7
In the AFC Championship game?
Yeah. Might have been worth a playoff win or two.
Yeah. I don't think they didn't get to the AFC Championship game on the strength of Derrick Henry. I mean, he did run the ball well. They got there on the strength of the best offense in football, kept getting stopped and turning the ball over. Idiots.
I think it's tough
the
because
the text isn't going to go well with that take.
I believe that he was the one who led them to where they need to be, but I'm with Jeff that you need that person leading you on a rookie contract.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because it hurts you too much to ask that guy to do it at $15 million a year
with the rest of your team. If the Titans want to be the best they can, you save $15 million a year and your running back next year is named Cam Akers, Florida State. Took him in the third round. Here's your 300 carries. I promise you he's going to average 4.5 a carry and life will be fine. Hunter Henry of the Chargers. They say Shine 9.
He gets hurt all the time.
Yeah. Shaq Barrett, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I disagree with that one too.
When are we getting to Chris Jones?
You got Byron Jones at number 5. Okay. So the Cowboys have two names on the list. Brian Bulaga, the Packers offensive tackle.
Good player.
Eric Armstead, defensive lineman for the 49ers, who just had his first really productive pass rushing year, probably because that line is stacked, which makes me think that is the kind of guy you let go because he probably just had the best year of his career. Anthony Harris, the Vikings safety, who had 7 picks last year, and Jack Conklin, Titans offensive tackle.
All right, there it is. Second down with Jeff. Appreciate that. Now let's finish up with Mike Bassick's second to last down G-Bag Nation around the NFL history. Try not to get emotional, man.
Okay, well, you said second. I will go with the second pick in the draft. This is an interesting article here. It says, should the Washington Redskins stand pat and just draft Chase Young, or should they drop down in the draft and get more picks so they can add more depth to their team? Jeff, what do you think?
Pick Chase Young.
Okay.
What makes it interesting is if somebody wants to come up for a quarterback, there is a quarterback tax. It costs you a whole lot to get up to number 2, so they could get a really big haul.
Gavin, what do you think? Do you just take the defensive end, or do you try to trade down a few spots and pick up a bunch of picks?
Trade down a few spots, pick up a couple picks. I do like Chase Young. I do like, you know, those pass rushers. But sometimes it doesn't work out, you know? And sometimes even when they're awesome, it doesn't mean you win. So I'm looking to acquire multiple good players.
You know, it's interesting. They go to the last 2 years of the NFL draft, and they go to last year, staying put was perfect. San Francisco 49ers with the second pick take Nick Bosa, rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, one of the better defensive players in all of the NFL. And it said, look, they didn't overthink the situation. They just took the best player at number 2 and got a supreme player, and it worked out great. But then they go to 2018, and they say not with the number 2 pick, but the Colts with the number 3 pick, because you're looking at the quarterback tax. Somebody wanted Sam Darnold real bad, the New York Jets. So they traded the number 6 pick. So they dropped from 3 to 6. In dropping from 3 to 6, they got 2 second-round picks in that draft and a 2019 second-round pick. So to drop 3 spots. So if you went from 2 to 5, what they're saying here for the Redskins.
They got that linebacker, didn't they?
They ended up getting Quentin Nelson with their pick.
Yeah, at 6.
Yeah.
But then in the second round, they picked the defensive rookie of the year.
Darius Leonard.
That was with their pick. They said with the pick of the New York Jets, they got Braden Smith, who has become a quality starting right tackle.
Okay.
With that pick.
And so then, it worked out for him still.
And then they traded the pick with the Eagles. I believe that was when the Eagles traded up to get Dallas Goedert in front of the Dallas Cowboys to make sure the Cowboys wouldn't take a tight end after Witten retired that morning of the second round of the draft. And it says they got in that one.
Weird that he didn't catch a lot of flack for that, isn't it?
Kimoko Touré.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
He has 5.5 sacks in his 2 years, missed 12 games last season because of injury. And with the extra pick they picked up in that trade, they got Jordan Wilkins, a backup running back. So they're saying it can work out either way. If you feel like what they traded away from was Bradley Chubb at the 3rd pick, if they would have just stayed pat, they would have.
That's what this is. That's what you'd probably be trading away from, is a monster.
Do you trade possibly down to number 5? Because Miami really wants Tua T, and you get to number 5, and you've traded away from Chase Young. Most likely Chase Young won't be there at 5, and pick up 3 second-round picks.
If you look at current history of dropping down
3 spots.
I would stick and pick. Unless they don't view that position as a big need, and they say, because my issue is if you go away from Chase Young there is not another player in this class that you're going to feel is anywhere near him at the same position group. But if you're looking at it and going, hey, we could get two corners and a wide receiver and an offensive lineman, and we're good with Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan, then okay, I get that. But if you're planning on getting help on the edge and you trade away from him, you're crazy.
There it is, Around the NFL, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Good stuff, gentlemen. Football Thanks. Knowledge.
Only one more left, guys.
A plus.
Oh, that's your second to last Around the NFL. Yeah.
We got the top stories at 5 o'clock coming up, including, did the injury fix Luka's worst kryptonite? It's next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.